Good morning. It is 10:30 a.m. on February 2nd, 2022. And the February meeting of the Arizona State Board of Dispensing Opticians is called to order. We'll do a roll call. Dale Nibley present. Suzanne Coleman?
Present.
Eileen Pettit?
Present.
Michael Searle?
Present.
I believe that's all we have on the call at the moment. We also have on the call Megan Darien, our executive director, as well as Seth Hargraves, our assistant attorney general. Let's move on to declaration of conflicts of interest. I don't hear any, so I assume there are none. Review, discuss, and approval of the minutes from January's telephonic board meeting.
This is Suzanne Coleman, and I'd like to make a motion that we approve the minutes from the January 5th telephonic board meeting as written.
This is Michael Searle. I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes as written. Any discussion? We'll do a roll call vote. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Michael Searle?
Aye.
Deb Bright?
Nobody else?
Aye. Deb Bright?
Deb Bright?
Aye.
Thank you, Deb. Appreciate it. Minutes are approved as written. Let's go into agency operations director's report.
The Senate and House of Representatives Health and Human Services Committees of Reference met on January 13, 2022 to review the performance audit and sunset review conducted by the Auditor General, evaluates the board's response to the sunset factors, and review public testimony. The committees recommended that the board be continued for 8 years until July 1st, 2030. Yes! And this is the max that they give to any board. So 8 years is max now. So we got the max. Then
very good.
Yeah, it's very, very good. And 5 year rule.
And they didn't have any questions for us, which was really good.
That's very much.
As the other boards were questioned to death.
Yes.
5 year rule.
Yeah, it was very cut and clean for our board, and we appreciate it. 5 year rule review report is currently scheduled to be heard in the council March meeting cycle, February 22 study session, and March 1st, 22 council meeting. This, I need to explain this 5 year review. Every board, the council, reviews that they are on top of the rules and how many times they modify it and change it and for the better of service to the public. And we have done it the last 4 years three times. So so it's very promising.
Could you repeat that? I couldn't hear you, Megan. I'm sorry.
Okay, 5 year review report is something that the committee reviews each board that if the each board has visited and reviewed and changed the rules. And we have done it three times the last 4 years. Usually the committee wants to know if the any board is changing the rules for better service of the public in Arizona. So we have done it three times the last 4 years, which is fantastic. Do you have any questions related to that?
Were all three of our changes, they all were changed to better the public?
We did. We did change the rooms three times the last 4 years, and the board reviewed this, the board approved it, and it was passed.
Good.
Yes. and council approved it the last 4 years. Anyway, and finally, license dispensing opticians renewals of 2021 have been completed with more than 94% completion as of 1/31/2022, and is completely over.
Good. Okay, let's move on to possible violations. Lynn Gannon, everybody has seen, I think, the emails, and I, to my knowledge, don't know of any optician in the state that takes PDs for someone that's not getting glasses from them. Personally, I know I never did, and I think that's something
Mr. Chairman, I think that's actually not in our purview. I believe that's in the optometrist's purview, and so that wouldn't really relate to our board.
That would be the OD's responsibility if he wants to put it on the prescription or not. And I read the complaint. I read Lynn's response, actually both of them, and I think she sounds like she's tried to do everything she could. So I think this is something that we can just dismiss. With a motion, I believe would be the proper course.
I do have, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, this is Suzanne Coleman again. I just have one question though, and that is regarding the prescription, the lack of giving the patient their prescription. I think that's something that we should address.
Right, and it sounds like they did do that, and the father's complaint was the fact that there wasn't a PD on it. I believe he ended up getting a prescription.
I think he was complaining that he didn't, I think he was also complaining that he'd had to ask three times for that prescription to be given to them. I don't know. That's just my thought.
Maybe we should just reiterate to Lynn and the optical that maybe Megan can do a conversation letting them know that it is required to provide the prescription to the consumer. That's actually goes back a long time to, what was it, in the 90s, I think, when it was release of prescription was required by this federal law, I believe. So, I think there definitely should be something done about that. I don't think there's a violation per se that we would pursue. As you say, it's kind of out of our purview for the PD, but absolutely there should be a letter follow-up or communication follow-up with the license dispensing optician that it is the right for the consumer to have a written copy of their prescription.
So is it, I guess my question is, What does the statute require? Is it required of the optician or is it required of the optometrist to provide that to the patient? That would be a question.
Well, again, it's the office is required to provide it because it sounds like it's a combined office. They're in the same facility. Okay. So I don't know who would provide it, but it should be written, whether it's the doctor. Obviously, the doctor has to write it. So it would have to come from the doctor, but the optician can facilitate getting that to the consumer, the way I understand it, if they're in a combined office, like it sounds like they are.
Mm-hmm.
So then it sounds like she got it from the doctor's records to give the prescription to him. It didn't have a PD on it, which I don't know any doctor that does take PDs. But this has been something that has come up several times because of the online ordering. But I don't think there's anything for us to really investigate on this. But I do agree with you, Suzanne, that we need to make sure the office, not necessarily just the optician, but the office knows that the consumer has a right to that prescription.
Yes, this is Eileen Pettit, and if they don't get their eyeglasses, really at that point, the optician isn't even involved. So the prescription itself would fall to the doctor's office, who's ever in the front office, versus the optical shop of the operation.
Correct. And I believe that's who gave the prescription to the gentleman.
Well, the one had eyeglasses there and the other one did not order them through them.
Right. And again, I don't see it's anything that's under our purview of investigation or anything for the complaint to the consumer. Obviously, we need to respond to the gentleman that this is a responsibility of the doctor, not of the optical shop. So I guess we need to have a motion on what we're going to do with this complaint.
So are you entertaining a motion?
I think we have to deal with it. Yeah.
Okay, so this is Suzanne Coleman, and I would like to make a motion that we, number one, respond to the complaint from Albert Mejia in regards to the duties and responsibilities of the doctor as opposed to the optician in this particular case, and that we respond also to the licensed optician that was involved in the complaint, as well as the office, just to reiterate the fact that the patients are, we're required to give them a prescription, and, you know, they shouldn't have to ask for it three times.
Right.
This is Michael Searle, and I'll second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded to respond to the complainant and let him know the responsibility lies on the optometrist for the information he was requesting. And then we're also going to notify Lynn Gannon about the store's responsibility to release prescription if they have it to the patient. Any discussion? I think we've kind of beat this one up. Let's move to a vote. Roll call vote. Dale Nyblaith, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Deb Bright?
Aye.
And Michael Searle?
Aye.
Okay, let's move on to the establishment license. No establishment license.
Before you move on, this is Seth.
Yes, Seth.
So your action was just to respond, but technically, even with those responses, you still have an open complaint. So you would still need to resolve that unless you're looking at doing something further down the line. If either it's just responding to the complainant and the licensee doesn't technically resolve the complaint. If the board feels that's sufficient, then you may want to
dismiss.
Correct.
Dismiss the complaint. Okay, Suzanne.
Okay, this is Suzanne Coleman. I would like to I'd like to add to the motion that I have already made that we also dismiss this particular complaint against Lynn Gannon LDO.
This is Michael Searle, and I'll second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we amend our previous one to add that we will dismiss this complaint against the LDO, Lynn Gannon. Dale Nyblaith, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
I do have one more question. Sorry, I should have said it earlier, but they did in the complaint, they also talked about the contact lens fitting fee. Now, that's something else that should be responded to because that really should be the doctor's prerogative,
again,
not that position.
That's not under review because it's the optometrist. That is not anything that does with the licensed dispensing optician or our board.
Right.
That's an issue you would have to take up with the doctor.
Couldn't we add that as an amendment to the motion that we also, in part of that review of the responsibilities and obligations to provide the prescription, but also to provide the patient with, knowledge of any fees, when they are prior to the exam. Does that make sense?
Again, I don't know that we can step into that because that's the optometrist. We're telling an optometrist what they have to do, and that's not our board.
Yeah, I agree.
I think we're getting into some murky area here. Steph, if you have any input?
Well, if we're telling them that, if we're telling the patient that it's the optometry's duty to take the PD, it's also their duty to tell them upfront fitting fees. Not the optician.
Maybe at this point, all we can do is really dismiss the complaint then.
Right.
We're a board.
Because.
That's right. We're the board. This doesn't fall in our purview, does it?
No.
I don't think so. It's not our board's issue. It'd be something that he could pick up with the optometry board, I guess. We don't get involved in fees and prices and cost of glasses or anything like that. That's not in our area.
Right. And this is Suzanne Coleman. I have one more thing. Since it's the, I just would like to know, and I would ask our AG Seth, if we have an obligation as opticians. I don't think it's in our statutes anywhere that say that we have to provide the patient with a prescription. I think that falls under the optometry board.
I agree.
Yeah, you only have the authority that's...
Go ahead, Seth.
You only have the authority that's set forth in your statute and rules.
Right, and I don't think that's in there, is it?
It's not.
Well, then I think that we... Sincerely, I think that we can only move to dismiss this complaint.
I'm so sorry. This is Megan Dorian. Would you please repeat your motion from beginning to end one more time for the sake of minutes?
Well, because of our discussion now before the vote was finished, I think that we have to change that motion. So would you like me to create a new motion?
If council agree with it.
Okay.
Well,
or amend
the
original.
You've already made a motion and voted on it to respond to the complainant and the licensee. There was going to be a second motion to further dismiss the case. So if you want to undo what was previously done, then you may need a motion and a second to rescind the prior action and do something, kind of start over. But if you, regardless of what action you take, any further motions, I would just caution not to, if you're going to refer to the complainant, refer by initials and not name.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so this is Suzanne Coleman, and I would like to make a motion to rescind the previous motion that we had.
This is Michael Searle, and I'll second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion to rescind the previous motion, and we'll move forward after that. Do a roll call vote. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Deb Bright?
Aye.
Michael Searle?
Aye.
Okay, that previous motion has been rescinded. Let's move on to the new motion, Suzanne.
Okay. This is Suzanne Coleman. I'd like to make a motion that we dismiss the complaint against Ms. Gannon by the complainant.
This is Michael Searle. I'll second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to dismiss the complaint against the licensed dispensing optician. We'll do a roll call vote. Dale Nightblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Deb Bright?
Aye.
Michael Searle?
Aye.
Okay, that is dismissed. We have the next item is the no establishment license. I think you've all read the response from I-Mart Express. They did file their request for an establishment license within a 30-day time frame, so I think we can move on for that one. We have Seth, how do we proceed without going through to the application for establishment license? They're kind of out of order. The violations have been brought forward from previous meetings on these other four. And
you can,
I don't know where we move.
Well,
can we go to six before we do five?
You can, or you can actually, since they are kind of intertwined, you can call
right.
Items 5C through F and 6B, 2 through 5, all together and consider them all together.
Okay. And 5B, we can move on to 6-1. 6B-1.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, do we need to make a motion on B first?
On which?
On 5B, are we dismissing this?
Well, that's also on 6B-1. So these are all kind of intertwined.
Okay.
This 5B, they acquired the location opened in January and they applied for their license within the 30 days after opening. So I believe is within a time frame for acquisition or opening of locations. And it is the first instance that we've had with this particular company. According to them, got the letter he wrote about his location in Yuma. So I guess I really don't know where we need to go. It's like we're,
well,
do we
okay, so
find them?
You have, item 5B, which is kind of related to
right.
Item 6B1. You can,
correct.
If you want, you can take them together and wrap them all up in one action. If you feel they meet the requirements for issuance of an establishment license, you can take action. Maybe make it clear that you're considering 5B and 6B1 together. And if your action is to approve the license, just make clear in the motion that in doing so, that resolves any potential violation under 5B, and that would resolve that
right.
matter as well.
Right.
Okay, this is Suzanne Coleman. I'd like to make a motion that we consider both 5B for I-Mart Express with no establishment license as well as 6B1 application for establishment license for I-Mart Express 273 in Tucson. We would like to move that we accept the application for the establishment license with the understanding that this will eliminate the possible violation for a no establishment license at this time.
Perfect. This is Michael Searle, and I'll second that motion.
We moved and seconded that we...
Just to be clear, and the result of that is they would be granted a license, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is Jan Coleman. I would amend that motion to include that we accept the application and they be granted an establishment license for IMART Express 273.
And this is Michael Searle. I'll second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to dismiss the possible violation and then approve the application for establishment license for IMAR Express 273. We'll do a roll call vote. We've got Dan Aglade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Deb Bright?
Aye.
And Michael Searle?
Aye.
Okay, and now, Suzanne, we need to do 5 C, D, and F with the applications for 6, B, 2, 3, and 4. We need to keep Clearview off of this information. Let's see it separately.
Okay. So I'm a little confused here.
Okay, they've met the requirement. We've gone over it with Seth, the information they sent us.
Okay.
He feels that they are meeting that. The issue with 6B5 is the fact that their LDO on the application has an expired license. So that's why we have to separate Clearview.
Okay, I see.
The other 3 ADGs are all meeting their requirements for their establishment license.
Okay, so this is Suzanne Coleman, and I'd like to make a motion that we consider both item 5 C, D, and F, combining them with items 6, 2, 3, and 4. These are for Sharper Vision Eye Care, Oasis Vision Eye Care, and Wolf Eye Care Center. And we'd like to make a motion that we accept the application for grant them an establishment license, which would relieve them of any possible violation for not having an establishment license.
This is Michael Searle. I will second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept the establishment license applications for Sharper Vision, Oasis Vision, and Wolf Eye Care Center. Do a roll call vote. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Deb Bright?
Aye.
Michael Searle?
Aye.
And since we're still working on 5, let's go to 5E with the application has an expired LDO on their application. I think we need to move to find Clearvision and work on a consent agreement for them for this violation, since they don't have a license. Their application for license is not approvable.
Okay, this is Suzanne Coleman, and I'd like to make.
Do you want an executive session for legal advice?
I'd like to make a motion that we go into executive session.
The legal advice?
Okay.
This is Michael Furlan.
Okay, and we're going to do a roll call vote, I guess. Can I vote aye? Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Deb Bright?
Aye.
Michael Cyril?
Aye.
Everybody disconnect from this call, and we will call in on the other number for the executive session.
Would you please call?
We are adjourned at 11:01 a.m.
We're not adjourned. We're
moving to executive session.
Correct.
Okay.
We are moving to executive session 11:01 a.m.
Okay, thanks. We'll call you.
Bye.